Today, there is a great silence over the earth, a great silence and stillness, a great silence because the king sleeps. God has died in the flesh, and the underworld has trembled. Thus begins a famous homily for Holy Saturday, probably from the mid-second century. What can we say about the moment of Christ's real death, the rupture which comes with the ending of that most perfect life? Most of Jesus' followers had already forsaken him and fled, his crucifixion a degrading public spectacle, by tradition with only a few of the most faithful women and St. John, the disciple whom he loved, keeping vigil until the end. It is desolate. After his ministry in Galilee, all those promises and hints of a new creation, a restoration of hope for all, and a promise of dignity to the despised, it has come to this: a criminal's death on a Roman cross. And now the world is silent. We're standing in College Garden. For years, a popular story was told here about how the body of St. Edward was hurriedly buried in this garden, secreted away at the dissolution of 1540, along with the masonry of his shrine. Almost certainly this tale is fable rather than fact, but it's undeniable that for those who lived and worshipped here during those days, the dismantling of the shrine and the dissolution of the monastery must have felt like a huge death, a bereavement of awful proportions. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, whose body didst rest in the sepulchre, and didst thereby sanctify the grave to be a bed of hope for thy people, make us so to abound in sorrow for the sins of the world, that when our bodies lie in the dust, our souls may live with thee, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.
A reading from St. John's Gospel. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Jesus is dead. Can we be clear? He is really dead and buried. We know this story so well, and we can so easily read it backwards, turning it into an Easter story. In that Easter story, Jesus dies, but he comes back to life again. The tragedy turns out not to be tragedy after all. If we are not careful, a spoiler alert sounds on Good Friday. We give away a happy ending. Jesus died. He was dead. Whatever happened at the resurrection, he most certainly did not come back to life again. Whatever Easter is, it's not the happy ending to Good Friday. Jesus died in agony on the cross. We can never, must never, turn away from that pain and that death. This story of Joseph of Arimathea is all about the reality of Jesus being dead. It's a dead body that is described. Indeed, Joseph is strangely attentive to this death. Mark's gospel hurries over the burial, but now we hear of myrrh and aloes in staggeringly large amounts. Joseph anoints this body. He knows that Jesus is dead. We need to know what Joseph knows. We must never suggest that death is not real. The Christian faith does not discount death. Jesus died, and we die too. The fact of dying is important, and it's very hard to bear. We know that so clearly in these terrible weeks of infection and illness. We grieve, we feel loss. We stop and we mark a death. That is what Joseph of Arimathea does. Today, Holy Saturday, is the one day in this year in which all the proper heavy restraints that we are now under can fizz with sudden energy. The restraints are there to keep us safe, but today they can do more than that. They can remind us that on Holy Saturday, churches are usually closed, shut up, like the grave, because this is a day to grieve. The cross on which Jesus died is the gospel. Death and burial are not an awkward appendix to the real story of Jesus' teaching and healing. This death on the cross is the real story. From the beginning, John's gospel told us that Jesus was the Lamb of God, the one who would die. The whole gospel is the cross. As Lancelot Andrews, who a long time ago was Dean of Westminster, put it, "In this all, so that see this and see all." So we should see this, and seeing this we should grieve, in much the same way that we can hurry over Good Friday, the cross and death, in order to get to Easter, life and chocolate. We can try to bounce people out of grief. We want to make them happier and more hopeful. Of course we do. But grief has a deep purpose. In grief we feel what is wrong and out of sorts. In our grief we encounter in raw emotion the acknowledgement that pain and death and loss are all an agony and an offence. Grief gets the measure of all that is wrong in our world. We need to grieve for things as they are, if ever we are to comprehend God's promise of what will be. So today on Holy Saturday we must grieve. We will not celebrate Easter as we should if we do not grieve.
At the end of the 1580s, the recusant William Byrd, who may have been a chorister here, published three motets which lament the destruction of Jerusalem. The conclusion of Ne Irascaris Domine, Civitas Sancti Tui, offers a poignant meditation on the conquered and desolate city, an image which somehow encapsulates so much mourning and loss, sung here by the Abbey Choir. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, when thou comest to judge, with an infinite retinue of saints and all the angels of God worshipping, grant us to plead only the wounds of the one whom we have pierced, that thy mercy may pass over the places of our guilt, and thou destroy not our life, but our death for ever. Amen. With eyes that watch and hearts that hope, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Saviour of the world, who by thy cross and precious blood hast redeemed us, save us and help us, we humbly beseech thee, O Lord. Amen.